Let us worship God in the singing of the 46th Psalm, the first seven verses of this Psalm together. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. And hopefully we'll all stay awake this morning and not sing the second hymn twice, as we did last week. But anyway, it was good, so whether we sung it twice or once, it doesn't matter. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 7. On page 42, it's on the screen as well. In God's presence, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father, we bow in thy holy and sacred presence this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee, O God, to a God who is enough, a God who is faithful, a God who is unchanging, a God who is able to do for us far more exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or even think. And so we come this morning and pray for thine unction and thy power. We pray for thy grace and thy strength. We realize, O God, that we need thee more than ever. We need the Lord to come. We need the Lord to work. We need the Lord to strengthen. We need the Lord to sustain. We need the Lord to speak. We need the Lord to work. We need the Lord to come and visit His people. Oh, for a God consciousness amongst us this morning, even as Your people. Oh, may the Spirit of God come down among Your people in these days, the days of dearth, days, O God, of coldness, days when the love of many waxeth cold. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt come to Thy church and visit us again with a gracious Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, devil-defeating revival. Grant that we may begin in our hearts this morning. We pray that the sloth will be removed, the carelessness will be taken from our hearts. And Lord, in our hearts again, there will be the burning fire of God. And we pray that Thou wilt come, blessed flame of God, and burn that fire within our hearts. And grant that the world will know that we have been with Christ. That the world will see that we are different. That we are the people of God. Remember this people this morning. Pray for all who listen to the service. That Thou wilt speak to every heart. Not only here, but across this land and to the uttermost parts of the world, that Thou wilt move today. We pray that there may be power manifested in every part of this land and beyond. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst come to those who need Thy touch too, in our congregation. We think of those who are hospitalized. Think of Mrs. Pennison. We think of Mrs. Steele. Think of our brother Carl, confined to nursing care. Remember him. Thank you for Isabel getting home from hospital. Continue Thy touch upon her. Remember others, O God, this Lady Pamela, we've been asked to pray for. We pray for her today, for her husband and family, and especially for Pamela, that Thou wilt touch her bodily. We thank You for drawing her afresh to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt work even in these circumstances today, and speak, Lord, to others who need Thee in that family today. Give comfort and grace. And for many others that we know of, going through sorrows, difficulties, challenges, we pray that Thou wilt meet the need of those on holiday too. Refresh them, bring them back to us soon, to fill the seats again, and to be refreshed, and body and in mind. Help us in these final weeks of ministry. Give us power in this week as we preach the gospel, even this afternoon in Carrickfergus at 3:30. And again this evening here at 7. We pray that You will bless us and use us. Remember us this week here in the prayer meeting, in Keady on Wednesday night, and again the other meetings and visits that we will be doing. Give us help, we pray, and grant that we may see Thy presence and Thy power at work across our land. For we pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymn of Mighty Fortress is Our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Number 533. And we will stand after the introduction and sing with all our hearts unto the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, boys and girls, we're thinking again of the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And of course, we have been thinking about how Nehemiah built the wall along with those helpers. And in 52 days, boys and girls, we have 52 weeks in a year. And in 52 days, this wall was built and the gates were added as well. And of course, the city was secure again. God had did his work despite all the enemies. Despite all that they tried to do. And boys and girls, we discover now we're in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah gathered the people together. They all gathered in one place, the street that was before the water gate. And of course, here's Ezra, the scribe. He comes with God's law, God's word at that time. It was like in a scroll, boys and girls. We have our nice Bibles today, of course, but this was a beautiful scroll that was brought containing the law of God. The law of God, the first five books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. And so the law was brought, and it was brought before the congregation. Men and women, all that could hear, were gathered together on that occasion. And of course, they read from the law of God. And they read from morning until midday. Now, boys and girls, if I read for that long, I'm sure you'd be sleeping or wanting me to stop. But such was their hunger, their desire for the Word of God in those times, that they listened with attention for all of that time to the law of God. And there were 13 people that were there beside Ezra. There were 6 on one hand of him, and there were 7 on the other side of him, on the left and on the right of Ezra as he read. And he opened the scroll. The Bible says the book, the scroll, the book of the law, was opened in the sight of all the people. And of course, the people worshipped the God of heaven with their faces toward the ground. And boys and girls, when we come to God's house, we come to worship. Let us never forget that. We come to worship the Lord. Of course, we meet other people. And we meet our friends, and we have fellowship. But the primary thing in coming to God's house is to worship God. That's why we're here this morning. And they read in the book of the law and gave the sense. In other words, they told them what it meant. They explained it, boys and girls, so that they understood what they were hearing. And that's what we try to do, boys and girls, whether it's in Sunday school or children's meeting or in our church services. We try to explain what the Bible means so that you understand, that you go away with God's Word. Boys and girls, this morning, God's Word is vitally important. I trust that you read it. I trust it's read in your home. I trust that you open your Bible and you read the Word of God. And I trust you'll listen to what is said here and in Sunday school and in the other meetings we have as well. And receive the Word. Because the Word of God, the Bible says, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we can see the way of life through God's Word. And I trust that will be so with you this morning. And if you don't know the Lord, that you will invite Him into your heart as your Savior, Redeemer and friend this morning. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, at this stage, deep and wide, and of course, you know the routine, and we sing it through. We just do it the once this morning, but when we come to the deep and wide, of course, we'll just do the actions at that point. We'll not say the words deep and wide. So get you all awakened this morning, and we'll participate in the singing of this
a chorus, just the once, please. Whimpers at the start. I think it's a few people and not just wakened at the start, but thank you for participating. We're reading together from the Psalm 46, Psalm part of which we've already sung this morning. The 46th Psalm, as we continue our look at some of the very well-known Psalms in the Psalter. And here is one of them. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of His Word, His precious Word, to our hearts this morning. We do welcome you in the Lord's name to the Lord's house. If you're listening in, we welcome you as well this morning. Could I mention that the offering baskets are as you leave. Today is our building fund, and we appreciate your giving to the Lord's cause in this house. Remember that, those offerings today. In the gospel evening service, again, we're back in the church, and we thank you for all your support in the drive-in services. Remember the word that went forth there. Pray that God will bless it to the increase, for His glory, salvation of souls. Remember tonight we're looking at the subject, broken beyond repair. We're looking at some great texts, gospel texts in the Bible. And tonight, the theme is broken beyond repair. Do you remember the season of prayer at 6:30? I trust you will join us again for the service. Invite others. Remember this afternoon, we're at a Royal Black Preceptory District service in our Carrickfergus Church at 3:30. Pray for us there as we return again to preach the gospel here at 7. Tuesday, the Bible study and prayer meeting. We would appreciate your attendance in these final weeks, and we trust that you will remember that. Tuesday night, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 in our study of God's Word, and remember the season of prayer. Next Lord's Day, the 14th of August, we will be here preaching the Word of God at both services. And Naomi will minister in the evening time at 7 p.m. Remember the times of prayer before the service of the Missionary Council offerings also next Lord's Day. Remember all who are sick at this time, those going through treatments and recovering from illnesses. Your prayers are deeply appreciated. Our sister Isabel Gilmore did get out of hospital during the week. Mrs. Bennis and Mrs. Steele continue to be there to pray for them. Remember a lady from Ballygan here we've been asked to pray for. Pamela Nelson, do pray for her in hospital. Serious situation of illness. Pray that the Lord's touch will be upon this lady as we've been asked to pray for her at this time.
And then Saturday the 20th of August at 2 o'clock, the reopening of the extended church building for Antrim Free Presbyterian Church in the Park Hall Estate there in Antrim.
That's on Saturday the 20th of August, 2 p.m. Reverend Mercer, the deputy moderator, is the preacher and everyone is welcome.
And then Lord's Day evening, the 21st of August, the Saintfield District Royal Black Preceptory will be joining us for our evening service on that occasion.
That's the 21st of August at 7. I will be the preacher and the soloist will be Mrs. Vivian McCoy.
And do remember, of course, in a few weeks' time, all the various aspects of the work will be resuming again. Children's meeting, parent and toddlers, Awana Youth Reach, of course, Sunday School as well, and Youth Fellowship, Youth Reach, all of these things. And if you can help in any way with any of these, your help is always appreciated. Do speak to any of the leaders or a member of session, and that can be taken forward. We appreciate all your help in these aspects of the work of the Lord.
We're going to join in the singing of another hymn, 570, How Firm a Foundation Ye Saints of the Lord Has Laid for Your Feet in His Excellent Word.
What more can He say than to you, you say, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled.
570, and we'll stand after the introduction and sing together with all our hearts unto the Lord.
Thank you.
turn to Psalm 46 in our Bibles. Let us turn to this portion of God's Word this morning. Psalm 46. And let us pray. Eternal, gracious, and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Our Mighty Fortress, Psalm 46. Martin Luther, speaking about this psalm, said, we sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends His church and His word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh and sin. Luther, of course, is one of the key figures in church history. A man mightily used of God in the Protestant Reformation. The year 1527 was the most difficult year of Luther's life. After 10 demanding years of leading the Reformation movement, a dizzy spell overcame him in the middle of a sermon he was preaching on April the 22nd. Of that year. It forced him to stop in the middle of his preaching. He feared for his life. On July the 6th, while eating dinner with friends, he felt an acute buzzing in his ear. He lay down and he was convinced he was at the end of his life. He partially regained his strength, but a debilitating discouragement set in as a result. In addition, heart problems and severe problems of health in other areas of his body escalated the very pangs of death. Of this ordeal, Luther wrote, I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain, and I still tremble. I felt completely abandoned by the Lord. I labored under the vacillation and storms of desperation and blasphemy against God. And what was worse, at that particular time, the Black Plague had entered Germany and it spread to Wittenberg. Many people had fled for their lives. Yet Luther and his wife Katie remained, believing it was their duty to care for the sick and for the dying. Although Katie was expecting their second child, Luther's house was transformed into a hospital where he watched many of his friends die. Then, without warning, his one-year-old son Hans became desperately ill. With death surrounding him on every side, Luther was driven to the Lord to seek refuge as never before. And this Psalm 46 became the strength of his soul. As a result, Luther expanded its truths into the hymn that we have sung this morning. A mighty fortress is our God. It's majestic and tremendous proclamation of God, who is the all-sufficient refuge in our weakest moments, has become the enduring symbol of the Reformation. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foes that seek to work us woe, His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not His equal. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to Him abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also,
The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And like Martin Luther, the author of this Psalm 46, find solace and refuge in God during difficult times. The background for this song of praise is unknown, but it was probably written after a period of military victory over a foreign power that attempted to seize Jerusalem. According to the superscription, it was written by one of the sons of Korah. It was written for the director of music. Alamoth may refer to the pitch of music, denoting that it was to be high for the treble and soprano voices. And so we have this wonderful psalm that is written, inspired by the Holy Ghost and Scripture, for our comfort and consolation this morning. Our mighty fortress. And what a comfort it has been for many people, perhaps even you this morning, in the midst of trial and trauma, in the midst of the struggles of life. John Wesley, the great Methodist, his dying words were these: best of all, God is with us. And these words were built or based upon this Psalm 46. Best of all, God is with us. I trust that you will be blessed this morning as we consider the great truths of this psalm. This psalm falls into three parts, really. If you look at it closely, you have the word or the term Selah, the pauses in the psalm, causing us to meditate upon the verses that come before. Maybe you often wondered what the word Selah had to do in Scripture with. And of course it has to do with drawing us aside to pause and to meditate upon His Word. There are three things in this psalm that I want to leave with you very simply and yet very plainly this morning. As we look at the various sections of the psalm, first of all, verses 1 to 3, you have the refuge. And then in the next section, you have the river. And then in the final section you have the ruler. And so it's very easily remembered. I trust so anyway this morning. First of all, the refuge, verses 1 to 3. God is a strong refuge for His people. He provides safety from discouraging and devastating circumstances. He is our immovable refuge. When we are attacked and assailed by the discouraging and distressing circumstances of life, God is a refuge in whom His people will find protection and strength and stability. God is pictured as a refuge, meaning that He's a strong shelter from danger, an unconquerable fortress, a walled city where protection is found. The word refuge in verse 1 means a shelter or a rock of refuge. While the use of the same word in verses 7 and 11 of the psalm mean a stronghold, a high tower, a fortress. And so taking them all together, you can see how strong a refuge the Lord is for us. Both words declare that God is a dependable refuge for His people. When everything else around us seems to be falling apart, and that's what's happening today, men and women. Look around this world and all of this world is falling apart. Wherever you look, whenever you turn on your news or whatever comes up on your phone as a news flash, it's indicating that this world is falling apart and this world will continue to fall apart. Never mind what governments do. Never mind what people say. Because the Word of God has predicted that all of this is going to happen. But in the midst of it all, for the believer,
we have this refuge. Look at Psalm 61. We'll just cite a few references here. Verse 3 of Psalm 61. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. There you have the refuge again. Look at Psalm 62. Verses 7 and 8. What it says there. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. There you have it another couple of times. The refuge. Going on to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. God is our refuge. And when trouble found the psalmist, God was not only his refuge, but God was his strength, upholding and enabling him to stand through fiery trials. To have trouble means to be in a tight place. Maybe you're in a tight place this morning. It means to be restricted. It means to be tied up. It means to be in a narrow, cramped place. Maybe you feel you're in a narrow place this morning. Maybe you feel you're cramped in your situation. The psalmist was between a rock and a hard place with no way out. And yet God was with him. He was a very present help in trouble. Or he was an ever present help. You see, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. That's what omnipresent means. He's everywhere present. No matter where we find ourselves, God is there. God is with us. God is near. Immediately present. He's instantly available. Sometimes when we try to call a friend, they're not available. Or even maybe we call a friend and we can't get through for some reason. But we can always get through to God. He's an ever-present help. And he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verses 2 and 3 of the Psalm 46. Having understood the all-sustaining power of God, the psalmist wrote, Therefore will not we fear, or we will not fear. This is a bold statement of confidence in God, inspired by the greatness of the Almighty. Regardless of what the psalmist and the people of God faced, they had no reason to fear. God is in control. God is in control of your situation this morning. The Bible says here in verse 2, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And here's a picture of confusion, represented as a momentous earthquake that caused an upheaval of the tall, lofty mountains. And the earth may change, and it is changing. The mountains may be hurled violently into the sea. There may be earthquakes and tidal waves and tsunamis. We've had all of these things, and we will still have them into the future. But these things, all of them, friend, are in the control of our sovereign Lord. There are some people who feel insecure at the thought of approaching old age. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You're like the man who always loved to read a book with the title, How Not to Grow Old. While at the same time, any sign of aging was his constant worry. If someone guessed his age a couple of years younger, he was delighted. But the more he worried, the older he looked. There are others who feel insecure because they think that life is passing them by. The fear of being left out in contemporary society. The fear of never being able to get married. All of these and many other things cause a sense of security and upset the balance of life. But the Lord says, fear not. God is in control. The Bible says, and we've quoted so often this verse, and we make no apology for quoting it again this morning, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Look at verse 3 of the Psalm. The restlessness of the sea is portrayed here. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. See that? The sea stands for that which is menacing. The chaotic situations that defy any system and order. Insecurity may be caused by fear or moral and spiritual failure. Earth-shaking circumstances. As the mountains crush into the sea responds by flooding outside of its barriers. When one's cherished ideals and values and standards are questioned, a sense of insecurity may overtake that person. A young Christian girl was brought up in the security of a godly home. And she went to university. She had to stay in a hostel in a big city. The atmosphere there was very secular and very worldly. She was greatly afraid she would lose her spiritual standards, lose her values. And a great sense of insecurity overwhelmed her. You can understand that. She felt that the waves of worldliness and sin around her would overwhelm her. But in spite of all of this turmoil that pictures devastating circumstances seemingly out of control, we need not fear. For God is in control. Circumstances may change, and they do. But God's covenant with His people will never change. Look at Isaiah chapter 54 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 54 and the verse 10, and see what it says. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall, listen, the covenant of My peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You see, He is our high tower. He is our refuge in the uncertainties of life. The refuge. Is He your refuge this morning? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord this morning? If you don't know the Lord, He's not your refuge. Your life is on a disastrous course. Course of ruin. Destruction. But if you seek the Lord as your refuge this morning, then you'll be safe. You'll be secure for all eternity. And so they have the refuge in the first three verses. And then in verses 4 to 7 we have the river. And how inexhaustible this river is. God's river is called the river of life. If you look at Scripture, you'll see the river mentioned in, for example, Ezekiel 47:9 and John 7:38. It talks about the rivers of living water. But then in Revelation 22:1, it talks about the river of life. It gives life. It is God's unfailing supply. When our resources fail, God's supply and His resources are sure. And what gladness there is this morning in that refreshing supply that God continually gives to His people. When all other resources have dried up, God's stream is still flowing. It's adequate to meet our needs. Look at what it says. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The city of God. Zion is a picture of a heavenly community. And there is security in the community of God's love. There is security in the fellowship of saints. Many years ago, a man called Zangora made an attempt on the life of President Roosevelt. He was interviewed afterwards. And they said to him, "Do you belong to a church?" He replied, "No, no. I belong to nothing. I belong only to myself, and I suffer." And when a man or woman belongs only to themselves, they will always suffer. On the other hand, in the Christian fellowship, in the fellowship of the saints of God, there is this security. There is this serenity. This is the wonder of the church. In order to make this fellowship meaningful, there has to be a commitment one to another. as firm as the commitment to Christ. I always go back to Acts 9. And when the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus as he was then, he was converted to Christ. And after Ananias had met him, very shortly after, he was introduced to the church fellowship. And he joined the church fellowship, became a member of the church. So important, the fellowship of the church. It's not perfect, of course, because we're humans. We're imperfect creatures. But it is something that gives us security. Commitment to the body of Christ is as important as commitment to Christ. How important it is that you remain committed to the body of Christ. As you remain committed to Christ. And then, of course, the company of the committed, there is healing and security. There is a richness, there is a fullness of fellowship with Christ and with one another. And we're not to forsake, as Paul says in Hebrews, the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're to join together, we're to congregate together. People say, I can watch on the internet. And of course you can. People do that, and people need to do it because of sickness or circumstances. But friend, it's not true worship. It's not. And sadly, even some of our own people got into this for no reason. Oh, it's on the internet. I'll just stay at home this morning. It's on the internet. I'll not come out tonight. I wonder what would happen if we pulled it off the internet. Maybe you wouldn't even watch anything. Commitment. Commitment to the church. Commitment to Christ. Fellowship of the saints. Very important. God is in the midst of her. His presence. The reality of His presence. He's right there in the midst of His people. He does not leave us comfortless this morning. He does not leave us isolated or alone. We have a conscious sense of the divine presence. See His power. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Unshakable, immovable. Knowing His continual help right from the dawning of every day. Verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. Yes, we have the raging of the heathen, the moving of the kingdoms. But all He has to do is to speak, and the enemy was defeated. You see, He's the all-powerful. He's not only the omniscient one, everywhere present, but He's the omnipotent God. He's the all-powerful one. He's the one that we can trust in and rely upon, no matter what is happening around about us in this world. We have the all-powerful God, the one that we trust in this morning. The Lord of hosts. That's how He's described verse 7. The Lord of the armies of heaven and earth. That's the meaning. This name for God is first found in Scripture when Hannah asked to the Lord to give her a son in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. He's the commander of the armies of the Lord. He's always with us. You remember when Joshua met the Lord? The one with the drawn sword. He was the captain of the Lord's hosts. That's what the Lord is to us. He's our captain this morning. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23. No matter what the circumstances, we may drink at the river of His joy and His blessing and find the peace and the strength that we need. There is a river this morning. There is a river. And so we have the refuge. We have the river. And then we have the ruler, verses 8 to 11. You see, this battle belongs to the Lord. Because the Lord will fight the evil forces that threaten His people by bringing glory to His name. The scene here is that of the fields surrounding Jerusalem, where the Assyrian soldiers lay dead, their weapons, their equipment scattered and broken. There had been no battle, but the angel of the Lord left the evidence behind to encourage the faith of His people. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. The Lord defeated and disarmed his enemies and destroyed their weapons, and they could attack no more. Furthermore, we see that the psalmist declared in verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Meaning that he would enforce his peace upon his defeated enemies. Be assured that at the end of the day, God will win the victory while delivering his people. We're on the victory side this morning. Don't be downhearted, Christian. Don't be filled with defeat or dismay. The Lord has won the victory for us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he says, verse 10, look at the words, be still. It literally means take your hands off, relax. You know, we like to be a hands-on, don't we? We like to do the thing. Maybe you're a hands-on person. It's good in many ways. But sometimes the Lord says, take your hands off it. Be still. Be still. Stand still. We have that in Scripture too. See the salvation of the Lord in another place. We like to manage our own lives. Oh, I want to do something. I want to go there. The Lord says, be still. Be still. Hands off. To be still is to cease from our activity. It is waiting in faith and anticipation what God is going to do. Be still and know, it says. Martin Luther translated this verse, be thou silent unto God, let him mould thee. That's good, isn't it? Be thou silent unto God and let him mould thee. Sometimes we have too much to say to God. We need to listen to what God's saying to us. Let him mould us. Let him shape us. What he wants us to be. Pascal said of this, all the troubles of life come upon us because we refuse to sit quietly for a while each day in our rooms. How we need to sit quietly. Sometimes. Amidst the clamour of life. You know what it's like. In the workplace. Maybe in your home situation too. All of the noise at times. You can't be doing with it. The Lord says, be still. And in the silence of faith, we know God. Be still and know. And this means knowing God as he is. Often we put a mask on the face of God. We never see the real God. We make him just an extension of ourselves. And make our will his will and our voice his voice. Here the psalmist says we must strip ourselves of all our own concepts of God and know him as he is. Be still, the Lord says, and know that I am God. Be still and know him. It is in this knowledge that comes through an honest exposure of ourselves to God through faith in him, submission to him, that we find his security. And see how he calls himself, verse 11, the God of Jacob. And we remember how often Jacob got into trouble. Because he put his hands on the circumstance. He tried to play God. There's a time to obey God and act. But until then, we better take our hands off. We allow God to work in his time, in his way. If we seize his promises by faith with both hands, we won't be able to meddle. God allows us to get into tight places so that our faith will grow, so that he will be exalted. Look at the words of Scripture. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Martin Luther, by the time of his death, which was February the 18th, 1546, was already recognized as a major reformer, one of the leading figures in the history of the church. As he lay on his deathbed, his last words were these, our God is God, the God from whom comes salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. And firm to the end Luther discovered that God was his refuge, that God was his rock, that God was his fortress, a bulwark never failing, both in life and in death. God will guide us in life and he will guard us in death. And how easy it is for believers, and maybe you this morning, to, because of your circumstances and the troubles you've had and all that you've been going through, the storms of life, you feel faint this morning. You feel downhearted. Greater and greater as problem can grow, causing us to be discouraged and dismayed. That's why it's so important to keep our eyes on the Lord. Maybe you're looking at your family and your family have gone astray and no time for God and they're wayward and causing you distress and pain. And maybe you're anxious just about the future and your family too and looking at education and all of those things and what could happen in the future. God's in control of the future. God knows the future. And he's the one who holds our hand. Don't be discouraged, Christian. Look to God in faith. And that brings great peace and comfort to the child of God. God is truly our mighty fortress. Is he your fortress this morning? Is he your Savior? If he's not, I pray that now you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. We forgo the closing hymn this morning and bow together in prayer. I've got to get to Carrickfergus, you'd appreciate, for 3:30, so I'll have to make a way pretty quickly this morning. So we'll not have our closing hymn. Trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father, we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt take the word of God and apply it to every heart. And may we this day be strengthened and blessed through thy precious word and drawn closer to thyself. We pray in Jesus' name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.